All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Can you see it? Did you know
this? Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a back pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
Moments notice. Adams leaves
to the line. Hughes scores.
Yes, existence. Take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal. Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
Here. Like I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
They slayed the dragon. Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. My name is David Quadrelli, and joining me on this episode is Chris Faber. Chris, how are you doing?
I am doing excellent today. I'm in a great mood.
Are you?
Yep.
That's good. Any particular reason?
Nope. I'm kind of excited, like a lot of people hate on the Christmas changeover as soon as November 1st hits, but I'm all for it. I'm down for the Christmas movies because, like, people were like, oh, like, you can watch some Halloween movies. There's no good Halloween movies. Like, can you think of one good Halloween movie?
Well, I mean, Friday the 13th, I like.
Okay, personally. Well, I don't, anything with a jump scare, I'm not into it, so I'm not watching any of that.
Oh my gosh, the jump scares on Call of Duty have been getting us lately.
Man, I've, like, considered starting a Twitch stream just so people could have seen my reactions. Like, I'll be opening a chest, reach over to grab a quick sip of lemonade. I'm, like, throwing lemonade across the room. These jump scares are insane. But no, I've switched over to my Christmas socks already, as you can see right now. I'm wearing socks to say ho, ho, ho on them. And the thing that people can't see in person is there. My legs and feet are so damn big, it's stretched out all the letters.
You're going to have to
tweet. You can barely
this.
Read that it says ho, ho, ho on the socks.
You're going to have to tweet a photo of this. People are going to want to see these. These are excellent.
But you know what? I get so many Christmas socks for Christmas presents every year. Like, yeah. It's like the same thing. Like, my mom will get me pajamas, socks, and underwear, and she always gets a bunch of Christmas stuff. And it's like, it's a horrible gift to get at Christmas because you can't even wear any of it, right? Like, why would you wear Christmas stuff after Christmas? But now that we switched over, I have all this Christmas stuff. I got Christmas underwear, Christmas socks, Christmas pajamas. Like, I'm all down for it. I know people hate on it, but like, I used to work in a mall and it would switch over to Christmas music on November 1st. And like, I was down. I like all the Christmas music songs. I don't care if they get stuck in your head. It's 2 months. Just deal with it for 2 months.
I was listening to my first Christmas music on October 21st. That was the first, day where I fired up Mariah Carey.
Yeah, I don't like it that much. Like, I'm not going to start in October. November 1st for me is like the switchover day.
You know what? I was having a bad day and I was like, I wonder if Christmas music will help. And it did. So
is that your favorite then, Mariah Carey?
Yeah, yeah. All I want for... Are you kidding me? That's like a classic.
You're the young kid. You should... I have my favorite song and I think it's by far the best Christmas song from like a pop star. Like, obviously there's like the classics,
okay.
Right? Yeah. But the best pop star Christmas song is Santa Tell Me by Ariana Grande.
Oh, I'm with you there.
That
I'm
is
with
one,
you there.
Like, man, me and the boys have gone down to that song.
Oh,
like,
man.
We have thrown that on at parties in July and gotten the dance floor popping to Santa Tell Me by Ariana Grande.
It's honestly a great song. It's
an excellent song, yeah.
And it's fairly recent, too. 2017, 2018,
probably, yeah,
I think.
It's probably within the last 5 years, for sure. Yeah, like,
absolutely.
It's one of the best. It's the best pop song that's came out. Best pop Christmas song in the last 10 years, for sure.
You know what? Mistletoe by Justin Bieber is a good one, too.
I'll let you have that one. I'm not into that.
That's a good one.
I'm sure it is.
You know what else I was listening to? Christmas music? You know how I like jazz, right? And I play clarinet?
Yeah.
Benny Goodman's Christmas album. Really good stuff.
All right. I don't know what those words mean.
Benny Goodman was like the best clarinetist of all time.
Okay. So sorry I didn't know that.
Yeah. Don't disrespect Benny Goodman on this podcast.
Too late.
I think we have some Canuck stuff to talk about.
Well, we have a huge guest on the show this week, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to mention
that. I said two things you had to intro the show with, and you didn't do any of them.
Well, okay.
You did one of them.
I was gonna, after I introduced you, you're always like telling us how your day is. When I say, how are you doing? You just say good. I don't know.
That was my plan.
I was just going to be like, oh, yeah, and we're also going to be joined by Jack Rathbone. But now I forgot because we're talking about, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to be joined by Jack Rathbone. You heard it there. Wonderful conversation with this kid. And yeah, the way he carried himself, man, it was just fantastic. I mean, I'm going to like read a quote from a Daily Hive article by Rob Williams just about like, you know, give a little bit of a backstory on Jack Rathbone because, you know, a lot of people have heard that he's very close with his brother, but a lot of people don't know the full story. So I'm going to break it down.
You know what? And the story that we heard a lot was that was the reason why he stayed back for high school. And yeah, like, obviously that's a story that people ran with and people talked about a lot, but we heard a little bit that it was some other things as well. You know, he was wanting to be by his whole family, you know, be back for his mom's cooking and a lot of stuff. So yeah, like, you know, people say this all the time and I know we're not really going to get into it, but like Spittin' Chicklets does a really good job of having these guys open up. And it was fun with Jack. Like, we joked around at the start before we even started recording. I wish it was recorded of him telling the story.
Oh, yeah.
On, like, the actual full story of him going trick-or-treating with his little brother. Because, like, that was incredible. Like, the full story was so good. And
yeah.
we didn't record when we were doing it because we're just, you know, we talk to people normally before we do the interview.
Yeah.
Just chit-chat.
Warm them up. Yep.
Yeah, but he, like, came out with a banging story right off the bat about his brother.
Yeah.
Like, I could try and tell it. He said that his younger brother was like looking for a Halloween costume and they had this catalog, I guess, that they were looking through and they were going to order a costume off of there. And then he points at Darth Vader and he's like, I wanted to be that guy. And then Jack's like, do you know who that is? He's like, no. He's like, but he's cool looking. And then Jack Rathbone, he went as a stormtrooper. So
they did
some social
distancing
trick or treats.
And yeah,
that was just
an
awesome story.
Took his brother trick or treating. And it's just like, yeah, it's just another testament to like, you know, this guy's a good dude, and you can just tell just the way he was talking, and oh, man, nothing but good things to say about him. And yeah, I mean, these are the quotes that I wanted to read. They're actually from Jack's dad, and this was when he was drafted. So, like, again, he's like a fourth-round pick. He's not really, you know, on everybody's radar. Like, national media didn't want to talk to him, obviously, like they would a first-round pick, but Elliot Friedman was talking to him on draft day, and he was talking to him about, you know, the decision to stay in high school. And yeah, I mean, it's really interesting what he had to say because, I don't know, like his dad was basically just talking about how he's so important to his little brother's development. So His little brother was 8 when Jack was drafted. He's now 11 years old. So I'm just pulling up the quote here. Yeah. So basically, Teddy's 8 years old, making good strides with his speech therapy and flourishing in an integrated classroom at some school. I'm not going to say the name. For that reason, Jack would prefer to stick around for a while. That was kind of the memo that was thrown out to all the teams. And this is what Jack said about his brother. He said, he's a big piece of my life, and I'm going to be honest, it would be tough to leave him for 7 months out of the year at this stage. He's probably my best friend. So being able to stay home, being able to complete my 4 years at Dexter, they took a financial risk on me and my sister. We wouldn't be able to afford an education there. Being able to finish my 4 years and getting my diploma, that means a lot to me and my family. Just like, just a genuinely good dude. And I mean, it, I don't know, it's almost like, I know I'm doing a lot of the talking here, but something I messaged you after is like, even if it was off air asking him, like, I would have loved to have gotten his thoughts on the Mitchell Miller situation.
Yeah, you know what? We missed out.
Yeah.
We missed on that completely. I think we were just too hyped, and this is like, yeah, this just happened. We did the interview on Sunday,
yeah,
right, for people who know, and yeah, we missed out an opportunity just to hear what he had to say, because yeah, I think that he would have had something pretty firm to say on the situation.
Absolutely.
Right? I think he definitely would have, and yeah, like you guys are going to hear the interview. He was excellent. He had good stories. He was fun. He just seems like a great kid to have into this organization. You see the guys that they're drafting lately, and like, there's no problems with any of these guys, you know, like it seems like they're drafting really good people that are good at hockey. And it seems like Jack Rathbone fits right into that. So yeah, I'm excited. And I think that I think people should be excited for this interview. It's like 25 minutes long. Jack gave us a bunch of time, and he even came on off air to tell us about Aiden McDonough and the nickname of Dunzo as well. You guys are going to hear that a little bit.
Yeah, that was fun.
I'm sure there's a, so you didn't tell us the full story, but he gave us a half story on why McDonough's nickname is Dunzo. But that was a lot of fun. And yeah, it's crazy to hear all the connections. We didn't really get into too much about the Judd Brackett relationship either, you know?
It's old news.
Yeah, it's old news. Now, it was something, right? You know, a couple things we could have touched on. But at the same time, good conversation in the end. And honestly, like we've been talking about it lately. We talk about this so much about the bottom pairing. But he really has a chance to surprise people, right?
He does. Like,
he is one of the two guys.
He's a wild card
that I'm looking at camp that has a chance to really surprise. It's him and Nils Höglander, and you know, those two guys competed in training camp together, or I guess not, or development camp. I mean, and Rathbone missed last year.
Yeah, he broke his foot
because of the surgery that he had.
Or, yeah, so he didn't break his foot. He had a surgery. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. So I think those two coming into camp is going to be a really interesting story. And yeah, it's going to be fun to follow him moving forward here for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we got to show him all the good Italian restaurants because he said that's his favorite food. Good choice by him. So when he gets to Vancouver, we're going to be his tour guides for sure.
Most definitely. And yeah, aside from that, like, there's not a lot of Canucks news really to get into.
I want to say one more thing,
okay,
about ahead. The relationship with his brother. So this is what his dad said when Jack was drafted. He said, Jack has helped my wife and me so much with Teddy. It could be as severe as Teddy having a seizure, and Jack has been there to help him get him on his side and deal with it. Or it could be as simple as going swimming with him. We've got a little in-ground pool in the back, and Teddy always wants to go swimming, and my wife and I can't always be there. Jack is always willing to hop in the pool with him and be with him. Man, I can't say enough good things about this guy. Like, that actually, like, warms your heart. That's super nice to hear about a player. And yeah, I mean, you just, you didn't get the vibe that he was arrogant at all. And you know, when you're a top player like that in the NCAA, it'd be easy to. It'd be easy, especially, you know, and that's why I asked him that question, the one that we used on all the promos, the are you NHL ready? Because I want to see what he wanted to say. Like, obviously he's not going to say, no, I need to go to Utica. Like, these guys better send me down.
I always love that question there. Because, like, yeah, they're never going to say no, but yep. I'm always curious to how they say that they yep. are. And yep. I think Jack did a good job.
And you know who Jack's answer reminded me of is Quinn Hughes. He came in and he said, I'm confident in my abilities, and that's all he has to say is I'm confident. He doesn't have to say, oh, I'm going to be better than this guy, blah, 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 all this other stuff. No, he just says, I'm confident in my abilities. And then, yeah, like Jack even said, he's like, yeah, I don't want to speak out of line here, but yeah, I'm confident in my abilities. And you're going to hear his full answer in the full conversation. And I mean, there's not a ton of
stuff to talk about. Sure, okay. If we don't want to talk about, there's no Canucks news.
There's nothing.
Since the last episode, but one of the popular articles on Canucks Army was the Canucks top costumes for Halloween.
Yes, Clarissa.
So I'm curious who your favorite costume was out of all of them.
Dude, okay, first of all, PDS Elmo hanging with the Riverdale crew is hilarious.
You know what? I found that out because the girlfriend hooked it up. She's like, I'm just looking at the Riverdale thing. He's like, didn't you say that one of the Canucks was dressed as Elmo? And I was like, yeah. She's like, is this him in this Instagram story? And I was like, oh, snap. I was like, I'm getting Canucks news from my girlfriend. So shout out to the girlfriend for breaking the news to me there.
That's beautiful. Insider.
Insider, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I know. He was, yeah, I mean, I think he's been hanging out with them for a while now. But yeah, that was cool. He was with them on Halloween.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, his was good. Adam Gaudette is the Joker. Like, I don't know what, if we ever get Gaudette on the show, like, it's we could perfect. Spend 10 full minutes talking about his obsession with the Joker.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, not only did Adam Gaudette go as the Joker, but his wife, Michaela, went as the Joker, too. Like,
I know.
How much does he love the Joker that he might have, like, got his wife to wear the exact same
it's
outfit
fantastic.
As well?
I love it. That's oh, yeah. Awesome.
It's
just,
like, I've seen it's, like, his new... profile picture on Twitch and stuff.
Oh, is it?
And like stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, Michaela actually just started streaming like today. She
I saw
started
the stream.
Yeah,
today.
That's her. That's
she's playing
her
Among Us.
New profile picture is her as the Joker, which yeah. is awesome. That's a good couple's costume.
We,
I love it.
We need to make that happen. Play with Gaudette.
Yeah, like
he's really good. Like he's good at Warzone.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not.
No.
I'm good at
we
sniping.
Got wins.
I'm
no, that's sniping. The thing, man. We got to have a serious conversation about your what? Sniping. Maybe off air.
Wow.
Me and the part in our third are always in there battling, and you're 500 meters away up in some freaking tower.
Yes, air support, man.
Shooting other guys in the whole, on the other side of the map.
Yeah, and I'm yelling, I downed
and
him.
Then one of us need to get revived, and once again, can't get revived by Dave again.
I go by UAV. I play to win.
Yeah, exactly.
You play to win, or you don't play at all.
Playing up in the tower. Anyways, we'll get a game with him in. And maybe that'll be a lot.
If we play Warzone with Gaudette, that I would turn it on with the sniping, and you bet I'd revive him. I'd revive Adam Gaudette. Yeah. I don't
well,
revive
that's
you.
When you play with someone like that, you gotta like.
Oh yeah, you gotta be nice.
Nice.
So yeah.
Would, like, be all over like everything.
Adam, do you want all my ammo?
Yeah, no joke.
I got a gold awkward. Gun. You can have it though.
Just be suckers. But like, I the other thing I wanted to ask about Halloween costumes was: do you have one growing up that you were more proud of than any other one? Because I have one.
Growing up,
I can say mine first if you want.
I mean, my grandpa and I have gone as nudist on strike for right. the past like 6 years since mm-hmm. I stopped dressing up. I stopped dressing up when I was like 14.
What?
Yeah, I didn't dress up. Actually, no, I was in a relationship. Oh, I guess I did dress up, but I took it off right away. It was just like the girlfriend wanted pictures, so I was like, all right, I'll put this on, and then took it off right away.
What were you?
I don't even remember what my last costume was with her, but. What was that? My best costume? I was a ninja one year, and that was really fun.
Okay.
And I was Mario another year. That was a really good one.
Okay.
Mario was probably my favorite.
So you never
one.
Won like the school competition then or anything?
No.
With these ideas.
Oh, mine I have a story.
Have been pretty extravagant.
I have an Alex Burrow story after.
Okay, give her.
No. It's not related to Halloween.
Okay.
It's just a school contest.
So one that I won the school contest for.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably have to be like grade two or three.
So full beard.
Early 2000s. Yeah, full beard, 6'2", 300 pounds. but the costume that I wore, so I took a hula hoop and covered it with a blue tarp and then put myself in the blue tarp and the hula hoop and then put a swirly thing on it and I was a Poliwhirl, like the Pokemon. It was an incredible costume. And at the time, like, this is when Pokemon was huge. It just came out. It was like the movie might have just came out or something.
Yeah.
So it was a hula hoop. That was blue, covered in a tarp, and then you put like the Poliwrath face on it, or Poliwrath, whatever one of the Poliwrath.
Yeah.
So I was one of those, and like it was the best costume, but I had to like waddle around everywhere because I had a full hula hoop, like and like a tarp wrapped around it, and we put a lot of effort into that one. I'll see if I can find the picture. I should have put it up on Twitter for Halloween, but if I can find it, I'll put it up. But that was like one of my best costumes of all time. My brother was a vampire for like 7 or 8 years in a row. I don't know why. He was like obsessed with just being a vampire.
Wow.
But my go-to one over the past couple of years has been Ricky. Obviously, like I don't even have to do very much
you
to look
so
like
well
Ricky
too.
Like, so when I actually like try to look like him, it's incredibly easy. I somehow found the t-shirt at a Winners of the one that he wears with like, it's a certain kind of
plaid. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, what am I trying to say here? Like the design or however whatever the thing is, like it's known as something, but I can't remember. Cause I remember seeing it on a couch and I was like, that's like the shirt from Trailer Park Boys that Ricky wears. It's like, oh no, that's like a certain, I can't even think of it right now. But anyways, like that one's been good. I've gone as when I had the beard one time, I put a bunch of paint and baby powder in it and I went as Santa.
Oh.
I did my eyebrows and I did my hair. Like I just, and I didn't do it like in a good way. Cause I put like acrylic paint.
Oh my god!
And like baby powder. And I learned that. Well, I learned the first night because I wore it two nights in a row. This is when I was down in Victoria at university. Like and I wore it two nights in a row. The first night I just did paint and it went so hard. It was like, oh, the costume looked really bad. Then I got all sweaty and it's like going off. So like, oh, I think the second day I did some sort of wet thing mixed with baby powder, and that was, this seemed to work out a lot better. So yeah, Ricky's my go-to, and I still have the costume. I'll probably wear it again next time we can go to costume parties. Hopefully that's, you know, hopefully Halloween 2021, but we'll see.
You used acrylic paint on your beard?
Yeah, it was Why? A bad idea. I went to the dollar idea, store though, just to get paint. I was a starving student. I was eating Mr. Noodles three times
a day.
It
doesn't mean you have to like mutilate your face.
Well, it worked. It was white. My beard was white.
I guess it was.
It wasn't a great idea in the end. No, yeah, I wouldn't do it now.
Yeah, that's good.
But I did it at...
I'm glad you've grown.
Yeah. I think I was 20, 21, 22 at the time.
I still haven't reached that age. Am I going to make those same mistakes?
No.
That's good.
No. You don't drink as much as I did back then. you'll be a lot smarter than I am.
Oh, my gosh.
At the age of 22, I can tell you that.
Should we cut to break? Because we just started talking about drinking. Maybe we should just cut to break.
Good timing. Yeah, we got a new ad fresh coming on the show. Hell so, yeah. Yeah, let's get to it. And then I guess just after the ads, we'll throw right to the interview. So, yeah, sorry. There's not a lot of Canucks news, so we might go off the rails here in the second episode.
I'll tell my Alex Burrow story.
There we go. We'll go off the rails in the second episode. We do have some prospect stuff to do in the second half. But the big part of this episode, obviously, is the interview with Jack Rathbone. He's got a chance of making the Canucks roster out of camp this year. But I'm pretty certain we're going to see him in a Canucks jersey at some point during the season. So let's hear from him right now. Let's get to the interview after the ads here with Jack Rathbone.
And before we go any further, just wanted to give a quick shout out to the presenting sponsor of the Canucks Conversation podcast, Zephyr Epic, Canada's source for trading card games and sports cards. We open a lot of hockey cards from them, and you can too. You can use promo code CanucksConvo for $5 off your order. They ship free anywhere in Canada on orders over $50, so take advantage of that. Again, that is promo code CanucksConvo at ZephyrEpic.com, Zephyr Epic, on all platforms, on Twitter, Instagram, and join them on Twitch every Thursday for weekly case break giveaways. Chris and I have a lot of fun doing these. You guys should check them out as well. We've been having a lot of luck. We open a lot of Quinn Hughes cards, and now we're doing the DiPietro diving. You can catch us on Twitter and Instagram opening hockey cards at random times. It's really hard to find out when we're going to do it because we don't really know when we're going to do it. But be on the lookout for that and make sure you go buy yourself some hockey cards, whatever cards you need, from Zephyr Epic. Zephyr Epic on all platforms.
And before we go any further, just want to give a quick shout out to one of the sponsors of the Canucks Conversation, Mike's Hard Lemonade. And if you guys are looking for a zero sugar, zero carbs, and also 7% vodka drink, look no further than Mike's Harder Zero. They have three different flavors right now, lemon, lime, and cherry, with apparently more flavors just around the corner. So with zero sugar, zero carbs, natural flavors, and 7% vodka, this crisp vodka soda packs the perfect amount of juicy, tart flavor with a bit more vodka. So you only got to drink two of these to get drunk, Quads. That's exciting for you. All right, guys, joining us now, coming fresh off of a career at Harvard, now stepping into the professional ranks, big time upgrade for the Canucks defense corps over the next couple of years, Jack Rathbone. Jack, how you doing today?
Great, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're super excited to get you on the day after Halloween. I know you had a little bit of dress up going on. You were a stormtrooper. Why don't you explain how that costume came about?
Yeah, I wasn't the star of the show. My younger brother wanted to go as Darth Vader. So we put together a little tandem costume there, and I kind of just, whatever he was going to be, I was going to try and be a pair with him. And we kind of just ripped around the block once or twice and grabbed some candy and called it a night.
That's good. And I know we were talking to you about the trick-or-treating protocols. We saw some shoots over here. How did it go over there?
It was good. It was, I think people were definitely a little nervous, and everything's kind of thrown for a loop here in the times that we're in. So there are a lot of candy bowls left out on the front steps and the take one signs, which I don't think my brother listened to. but no, it was fun.
He's probably just being nice and grabbing an extra one for you, right?
Exactly.
I'm curious because we just talked about it with trick-or-treating, how life has kind of changed. What's it been like for you, like, compared to a typical off season? Like, are you normally out working out with a group of guys or working out with your school or being able to skate? Like, has that been taken away from you with this COVID world that we're living in?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, a lot of the I think everyone's dealing with the modifications of my old trainer used to, it was free to walk in whenever you come show up at like 30 to 45 minutes before your lift, or you could show up 15 minutes depending on like the warm up you wanted to get in. But now it's, you got to come in at a certain time. You got to leave through one door. You're coming in with a mask on, taking your temperature. So I think everyone's dealing with that kind of stuff. But yeah, no, it's, training's been good. I think a lot of it's actually the with the start dates being kind of up in the air right now. People don't really know when to fully ramp it up, and kind of because you don't want to burn out or anything before we even hit the ice for camp. So yeah, I think, but it's been good. I think trying to stay in shape and trying to be on the ice as much as possible without, like I said, trying to burn out.
Yeah, no doubt. The joke that I've heard from a lot of players over the past couple of months is that everybody's going to come into camp with 20 extra pounds of muscle because they've all been in their basements doing extra curls and squats. Are you going to show up with an extra 30 pounds somewhere, Jack?
I'd like to think so. Hopefully not in the stomach, but hopefully, no, but it's been good. I think, I'm not the biggest guy. So I think anytime I get a little extra time in the gym or a little extra time to prepare off ice, I think that's a positive for me.
Now, Jack, you now know you're going to have a place to play in North America, which must be a relief for you with the AHL announcing that they're going to try and come back on February 5th. I'm curious if at any point the thought of playing in Europe crossed your mind.
I think it definitely crossed my mind. I have actually one of my close buddies from Harvard, the kid Jack Drury, who he signed in the SHL at the beginning of their season this year. So just talking with him, honestly, I think that was honestly what introduced the idea to me, the opportunity. But after talking with Vancouver and what they thought was kind of the best plan of action for me was to kind of stay here. I think in the back of their minds, they had an idea that there was going to be some hockey to play over here in North America, at whatever level it may be. But I think, again, like I mentioned before, any extra time I can get to try and train and, work on my side of the game off the ice, I think that's a huge positive for me.
Absolutely. And what kind of group are you working out with now, back home? I mean, I know your dad's been a coach for a long time. Are you working out with him, or are you working out with a different group of people?
No, I off the ice, I'm training with this guy right now. His name's Keith McGrath. It's kind of a one-on-one situation, but he's been great. I've been with him like close to five times a week, and then on the ice, we've got a good group of local pros that are actually skating right now. Just guys that have obviously come back from the bubble now and settled down and taken a couple weeks off. Guys are starting to get back on the ice, and but definitely it's been good, whether it's on the ice or off the ice. I think everyone's kind of in a routine now, which is good. And before with quarantine and everything, guys were just trying to get a workout in when they could. And now with a little bit more structure, I think guys are starting to ramp it up.
Yeah. We talked to Aiden McDonough last week, who's playing with Northeastern. He's just said that like all those guys are just practicing now. So they're just itching for games. So I'm wondering if you're getting into any, you know, 3-on-3s or 2-on-2s, or is it all just kind of battles and practice for you right now?
I think it's a little combination. There's a couple local skills coaches that have been helping out, just running skates, and I mean, a lot of the older guys, they know what you need to do in order to get in shape. So we've been doing a bunch of different stuff, whether it's battle or strictly like working on certain skills, or a lot of like 3-on-3, 4-on-4 to kind of finish up the skates.
Absolutely. It sounds like you come from a hockey family, Jack. Like, I'm wondering, it's interesting talking to some Canucks prospects. Some of them that come out of like a Canadian hockey league, like the WHL or the OHL, find that jump up to the AHL or the NHL is just massive. But what we've seen, which is so interesting, that guys that go to college, you know, maybe get to play a couple extra years, seem to have an easier way of transitioning to professional hockey. Is that what you're kind of hoping for? Like, do you think that those couple years at Harvard made you into the perfect spot now to jump into professional hockey?
I think so. I think just college hockey in general, you're kind of playing against what could be considered men already. You know, a lot of guys coming in as 21-year-old freshmen now in college hockey. So definitely some older guys, some bigger bodies, maybe a little bit more wide open in terms of the play, obviously, when compared to like the AHL and the NHL. But I think that's why I wanted to play college hockey ever since growing up. It's hard not to when you're a Boston kid. All the great opportunities right around you, whether it's BC, BU, Northeastern, and I'm obviously biased towards Harvard, but yeah, no, I think that, and then playing for a guy like Coach Donato with the reputation he has, and you know, playing in the NHL for as long as he did, he knows what it takes. So learning from guys like that, and then just college hockey in general, I thought it was, in terms of what would be best for my development, to hopefully one day make that transition, like you guys said, a little bit easier.
Jack, for Canucks fans that don't know you and haven't watched your game enough yet, what would you say the biggest strength and the biggest weakness in your game is?
I'd say my strength is kind of my offensive creativity and my skating ability, being able to transition the puck from defense to offense and kind of be that fourth forward almost. And then I'd say my weakness, or something that I'm always trying to work on, is a lot of just like the defensive positioning, and my feet can kind of allow me to do some things that get me into trouble sometimes. So a lot of decision making on when to jump and when not to. But those are things that I've been working on the past 2 years, and things that through video and help from coaches, I think are ready to continue to develop and hopefully make that transition a little bit easier.
Now, once you signed, we were talking to Thatcher Demko on Zoom, and somebody asked him about you, and he couldn't stop smiling. He was so excited, and he was telling us about the days you guys used to play Xbox together and all that sort of stuff. What can you say about your relationship with Thatcher Demko?
He's awesome. He's been great for me. Just, I mean, obviously the player that he is, looking up to him kind of as a role model. And then I was young. I was like a freshman, I think, in maybe eighth grade, freshman in high school when he was here. Just because the family friends being having that connection, he would come over every now and again for kind of a home cooked meal, and whether it was pond hockey or playing Xbox, you know, I obviously looked up to him. He didn't have to, but he was a really nice guy to me, and I was a big. My dad played at BC, so growing up, I always used to go to the BC games and kind of idolize those guys. So. But it was a relationship that I thought was great and definitely helped me, and watching him transition and have the success that he had here in the postseason was really fun for me and my family. And now I'm psyched to kind of get reacquainted with him and hopefully play with him one day.
Absolutely. Maybe show him how much the slap shots increased a little bit and improved over the years.
I hope from freshman year, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt. What did you think when you saw that performance in the playoffs? I mean, those three games against Vegas, that's the best trio of games from a goaltender all through the playoffs, it felt like.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if you don't watch hockey, you knew how good he played. I think it was it was special what he did. And I was psyched for him. I knew he was capable of it, so just watching him at BC. But watching him do it at the highest level was really cool for me and my family, and something that we loved watching.
Absolutely. And something else that you just kind of mentioned there when you talked about your strength is something that I find so interesting, because it seems like coming into this Canucks camp, this training camp that we're going to have, a couple of the wild cards to really make the jump into the NHL is yourself and forward Nils Höglander. And you brought up offensive creativity. And I find that so interesting, because that's not really a thing that we talked about guys coming into the league maybe 10 years ago. Like, it felt like maybe Alexander Ovechkin was like the first guy to be called like offensively creative. So what is it about, you know, being creative offensively, is something that you like to talk about when you mention it as one of your strengths?
Yeah, I think being able to get out of your zone first and foremost for a D-man, but then once you do, trying to make plays and create offense for whether it's getting the puck in the forward's hands and letting them do it themselves. But if you need to jump in and be that fourth forward, I think the way the game's trending right now, D-men are almost rovers in the offensive zone. There's no more kind of like set structure, I think. And I think that suits my game, and something that I'm excited to hopefully get the opportunity to do at the highest level.
Jack, I know this is a bit of a loaded question, so, you know, take it easy here. But, you know, do you think you're NHL ready? Because there's a lot of scouts that say you are. But for yourself, do you think you are?
Yeah, I mean, I'm confident in my game. I think the NHL is, I mean, you always work to kind of play at the next level and at every level you're at. And then finally, I'm kind of here to play professional hockey and hopefully play in the NHL. But I think I would say that I'd like to think that I am. I'm confident in my abilities. And you know, it's, again, I mean, I don't want to speak out of line here, but I'm excited to go into a camp and try and make it a hard decision for them, and hopefully, you know, achieve my dream of playing in the NHL sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. We're excited to see it too. I want to go back to another hard decision. I know it's something that was talked about a lot after the Canucks drafted you. From the 16-17 season at Dexter, you ended up coming back to play high school hockey. I know that the story that we kind of heard was that you wanted to stay closer to your brother. I'm wondering if you could just walk us through how that decision went, Jack.
Yeah, it was, I got drafted at right after my junior year, like you said. And, most guys kind of on that path, they look to the USHL in order to kind of, they say that the USHL is a little bit easier of a jump in terms of your transition from juniors to college compared to, say, prep school to college. So I had that opportunity, and I went out there for a few games. I loved it, but I mean, I couldn't pass up the opportunity to be home and be close to my family, be close to my brother and sister. And I think a big thing for me and was the confidence that Coach Donato had in me to be able to do that. A lot of coaches now, they'll kind of funnel guys into juniors, into USHL, and then eventually to college. And I think it's a fantastic group, but I think everyone has their own individual development path. And a lot of it for me at that time when I was drafted was I wasn't the biggest guy. I was a lot smaller than I was in terms of being able to put on weight and grow. And I think what was good for me was being able to have the puck on my stick a lot in prep school, and then being able to off the ice to be eating home cooked meals and being in the gym as much as I was. I think that prepared me a lot for college hockey and the size and the strength of those guys to be able to make that transition a little bit more easier compared to being on long bus rides and playing whatever it is, 62 games compared to say the around 50, 45, 50 that I would have played here in terms of the fall hockey season leading into prep school. So, I think just, it was definitely a difficult decision for me, but at the end of the day, you know, I wanted to spend a little bit more time at home. And, I think the confidence that the coaches had at Harvard in me to be able to do that was also something that pushed me to make that decision.
Absolutely. And we've heard a lot about, I mean, the story's been reported on that you wanted to stay home with your brother, but I got to ask, the home cooked meals, what's the mom's go-to home cooked meal for you?
That's, she's an unbelievable cook. Hopefully she listens to that, so I get a little brownie points there. But, I think anything Italian, I think the, chicken parm is, something that she's dynamite at. Honestly, anything that comes out of her kitchen, I'm going to be eating. So,
that's good. My co-host Dave here is very Italian. He's got a couple spots for you when you get here to Vancouver.
Yeah, we can tell you all the good Italian spots when you get here.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask too. I mean, moving on to college hockey is one thing, but moving on to potentially the most prestigious school in the world, in Harvard's one thing as well. What was it like, you know, just attending that school as your university?
It was awesome. I think you the second you step on campus, the tradition, the history, it's. You can feel it once you step into Harvard Square there, and then being able to play for a school like Harvard with the tradition in the sport that they've had and the great players that have come through there, that was something that I wanted to be a part of. And it was a dream come true getting that acceptance letter. And I think obviously I wouldn't have gone there if academics wasn't an important piece of my life and my family's life. So I was excited to be able to get that opportunity both on and off the ice. And I'd like to think that I made the most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jack, on the note of at Harvard, you know, did the thought ever cross your mind of staying there and becoming a free agent like you've seen other college players do?
I think, you know, you've seen guys do it before, so you know it's a possibility. But the Canucks have, especially their player development staff and their management and their coaches and everyone's, honestly, the two development camps that I attended, I got a great feeling, and loyalty is something that's pretty big to me. So I knew they took a chance on me, and they, again, the decision that you mentioned there on whether to play in the USHL or go to prep school, I think they were great in terms of kind of giving me my space to be able to make that decision on my own, and they didn't pressure me either way. So they've been great to me, and the relationship, whether it's with Chris Higgins or Ryan Johnson, those guys have been awesome for me in terms of trying to grow as a player and being a resource for me. So I think that was something that I knew I wanted to be a part of, this kind of an organization, and kind of work alongside people like that.
That's great to hear. Now, the city itself, what's your first impression of Vancouver?
I mean, it's beautiful. I had ankle surgery literally the first day of development camp last year, so I couldn't attend development camp. But I was bummed, because being able to experience being a professional hockey player basically for a week was basically the highlight of my summer. So I was pretty bummed I wasn't able to go to that development camp. But I mean, the city's beautiful, the fans are unbelievable, so I'm psyched to get things going.
Absolutely. I got to go back to college a little bit here, because like I mentioned, we talked to Aiden McDonough last week, and he's got a question for you. How does it feel losing to Northeastern in the Beanpot?
Wow.
Oh, God. So it's, I mean, Dunzo's one of my best friends. He's, the Beanpot's something, I mean, you grow up every year. I basically went to, I think, literally every Beanpot up to the ones that I played in. And, I think that's going to leave a sour taste in my mouth, not being able to come home with one of those. But I'll be a good guy here and say that I'm happy for him. And happy to see him. If anyone's going to bring it home, I'm happy it's him. So, but it was good.
No doubt. He also wanted me to ask who you believe is the better street hockey player out of you two.
It's not even close. It's I'd say he's a much more defensive-minded street hockey player. He's big into it. He'll do anything for a team, in order, whether it's blocking a shot or getting a puck out that you need out. But I'd say it's not even close. I'd say it's me.
Good to hear. And the final thing was, and we're both fans of this, Dave and I both grew up playing baseball, the AAU baseball days. He's wondering if you have a story from there.
Oh, my gosh, top of my head. I don't have any stories, but I think it was just like, it was a blast, like being able to play with, we were, honestly, it was a bunch of hockey guys wanting to play baseball. So it was a fun group to be a part of. I think our lineup, like 1 through 6, 1 through 7, was all hockey players. So that was hilarious. And then you're playing double headers, and you're spending weekends with your best friends. I think those are memories that I definitely won't take for granted. It was a blast. And I mean, me and Aiden played hockey and baseball, I think, together all the way up until literally the year before he went to the USHL and I ended up going into Harvard. But yeah, it was a blast, and hopefully we can hopefully he'll one day sign here and eventually kind of reunite that.
What position do you play in baseball?
I was a catcher at the time.
Nice, calling pitches. I like it. Nice stuff.
Yeah.
I got to ask, because we got, like, when we would go down to United States tournaments with our baseball team, they would always say, like, oh, these Canadians come down and they always get into scraps when they come down here and charge the mound every time they get hit. Like, I feel like it's similar with hockey players. You guys ever get any brawls in your time?
We didn't have anything, thank God. I don't know if I would have been the first guy to start it. I'm not the biggest guy, but I'd say Dunzo, being the big boy that he is, I'd jump behind him, I guess. But no, we didn't get into anything that I remember. But I think we were all ready if something were to happen.
Absolutely, would have been fun. I mean, six hockey guys on the team. That's going to be okay in a baseball brawl, I think.
Exactly.
Hey, Jack, looking at what your season looked like from your first year with Harvard to your second, obviously the points go up quite a bit. You get up to 31 points in 28 games last year. Do you think that improvement came from? Do you think it was something with the team, or was it something that just a different spot with you being put in?
I'd say it was, I mean, we definitely had some departures, some big name guys on the back end there with Johnny Marino and Adam Fox leaving. I think me being able to step into a new opportunity and new role, kind of as a little bit more of a leader on the back end there was something that I was ready for, and I think I was able to take advantage of it. But I think a lot of that was preparation in the off season, and honestly, just more confidence coming in there and knowing that I'd be a little bit more relied on than I was my freshman year. And then with the help of the coaches and Coach Marcou, Coach Nato, and Coach Tortorella, having the confidence in me to be able to step into that role and kind of do my thing was something that I was excited about too. And yeah, I mean, you also, we were pretty deep back end in terms of our 1 through 6. We had guys that could play up and down the lineup, and playing with guys like that, it's when it kind of makes your life easier. So I was excited to be able to step into that role and definitely had a lot of help along the way.
I was wondering, did you have any goals going into your final year? Like, I know that you probably weren't even thinking at the start of the year, this is going to be my final year of college hockey. But, like, did you have a goal set for what your sophomore season was going to look like? And do you think you hit it last year?
Yeah, I don't love to set, like, whether it's numbers or anything. I don't love to set goals kind of that way. I just wanted to become a more well-rounded kind of 200-foot defenseman. From a confidence standpoint, I knew that I would get the minutes to be able to grow as a player, but I think I was able to make the most of my my opportunity that I was given. And yeah, I think in terms of goals, I was excited, but you know, at the end of the day, you want to win. And I know obviously there wasn't even a national championship to win this year, but little things like a Beanpot championship and obviously wouldn't even have the opportunity to win the ECACs there. But yeah, I think little things like that, I definitely look back on as a team that I think we know we had the opportunity to, and we had the team too, but obviously just kind of didn't go our way there. But from a goal standpoint, those are the big things that I would circle were the Beanpot and those kind of team oriented goals. But obviously it didn't happen, and something that I wish could have gone differently, but hey, you know, I mean, the world's kind of in limbo right now, so
we
no one was able to finish out the way they wanted to, so definitely something I think back on. And I loved being a part of the team we had this year. We had a great group of guys.
Jack, on the topic of goals, coming into training camp this year, do you have a goal set out for yourself?
Yeah, I think I don't think anyone goes into a training camp not wanting to kind of, or any tryout for that matter, not wanting to make the team. I think that's definitely a goal of mine is to play in the NHL this year. But honestly, I want to learn as much as possible, try and be with this being my first year pro. I want to be a sponge, try and learn as much from any of the older guys and anyone really, honestly, that ends up attending camp. That'll be an incredible opportunity for me, and something I'm excited to get going.
Absolutely. We're waiting for a date so we can get down there and see you guys practicing at the rink. We're excited to get that going. And Jack, we wish you all the best now in the off season with your workouts. I'm sure about to ramp up here for training camp, and yeah, hopefully the world gets back to normal sometime soon, because we'd love to have fans in the arena watching you skate around in the blue and green soon here.
Definitely. Thank you.
Awesome, Jack. We'll have a good rest of the time, and we'll see you at training camp, man.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
And a huge thank you to Jack Rathbone. Chris, what a great conversation that was.
Awesome, dude. Wish him the best of luck at camp. And that's something we're going to talk about for a long time, obviously, going into camp.
Gosh, yeah.
That's the big story. Like, to me, that's the big story on what the biggest drama is at camp. It's which one of these three out of him, Yolevi, and Brogan Rafferty you're going to make the team. So that's going to be a huge story, and we're glad to get him on the show. I mean, this kid's going to be an NHL pro for a long time, and getting him on the show right now is great. Awesome to deal with. Hope to keep that relationship going into training camp and see if we can chat with him then as well. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, okay. And I know this is a little off topic, because I'm sure we're going to have a lot of conversations about this, but like, what are your top three storylines going into camp? And I'll go first so you can stew on it a little bit. But I mean, obviously there's the one you mentioned, and I don't really want to rank them, but I'd put that one at the highest.
That's the big one for me.
I think so. And then I'd say number two is Jake Virtanen going to be in shape? Because every training camp we've seen lately, the past two in one season, he hasn't been.
Yeah.
And there's people saying he's working out in Kelowna. Like, I saw him say that he's working out with Tyler Myers at the home gym, which is awesome. Ted Wong on Twitter said that he saw him in a gym and he looks big. do with that what you will. I hope it's a good kind of big, and it's not the big country, yeah, big tuna that we've seen at the past two training camps. But yeah, I'm really pulling for Jake Virtanen. I'd love to see him succeed.
Yeah, what's your other one then?
My other one is really who's going to get the starting position out of the in net.
Goalies?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe that's just because I love talking about goalies, but Demko and Holpe, man, I don't know. It's going to be hard to assess in training camp. Are there going to be...
Looking at those two, like, it's so strange to look at the way their careers have gone, and I think a lot of people have Demko ahead as a starter.
Yeah.
But if you look at their careers, you know, a lot of people would say the stats indicate it should be Holtby, but I think what you see with Demko and the step he's going to take, you need him to take that step into a starter. So yeah, that's a good story as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the Canucks got it right. And I think I've said this before, but like, yeah, Jacob Markstrom would have helped them next year for sure. He's undoubtedly a better goalie than Demko and Holtby, but you know, they're banking on the future here with Demko, and that's what they should do, if I'm being honest with you. So
I agree with your three. I'll give you a couple more, sure, just because like I think these are big stories too. And this one's similar, sort of related to Jake Virtanen, who's going to play on the top line with Miller and Pettersson. Is it Jake Virtanen? Is it Brock Besser? Is it name somewhere else here? So I think that like that's going to be an interesting one to see how that kind of plays out in camp. The other one is, and I don't think it's going to be much of a story because I don't think he's going to make the team, but if Sven Berchi is able to come in, ooh, you know, like it's going to be interesting just to see how he's, I think it's going to be interesting to see how he's treated at camp and how he acts at camp.
Yeah, you know? Body language is going to be a huge thing we look at.
Not even, like, yeah, that's true, but like as well as just like, is he going to be a guy who's put on a fourth, like on a, like a sixth or fifth, yep, or sixth line with Cole Lind,
yep,
and, you know, some center that
I hear,
you
know,
Michaelis, or I guess he's gone, Michaelis. I still can't say that dude's name. Anyways, but like, is he going to be there, or are we going to see chances where Sven Berchi is playing with Adam Gaudette and Antoine Roussel? Like, or is he on a second line with Horvat and Pearson? Like, he could, but I don't think that the Canucks are going to put him in that spot. But I'm curious to see if they do, even just like scrimmage drills. Like, if he's playing in top six roles, or if he's playing with players that are in the Canucks top six, that's very promising for Berchi. And I wonder if he's in that group, or if he's more with the AHL guys, right? Like, is he skating with Justin Bailey on a line, or is he with, you know, certain other players like Gadjevich or something? So I think it's going to be interesting to see the placement that the Canucks coaching staff does with Sven Berchi at camp.
Especially when we speculate that it's a bit of a frayed relationship between, yes, the two. I don't think... I mean, there was definitely reservations last year. They called him up very briefly, but man, what's going to happen with Michael Ferland? I think that's another thing we got to talk about, because yeah, I think it kind of ties into the Berchi thing. I don't even think
that's a camp story, though, really. I think we're going to find out something before camp.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he shows, like, he either shows up to camp or he doesn't, right? Like, we're going to hear before camp if he's not showing up, mm-hmm, or he's going to show up to camp and then we just have to deal with the same thing that we've been dealing with for the past little bit. And just like, man, is he health? Like, is he okay to play this game, right? Like, you wish nothing but health for the guy. And it's unfortunate to see him have to take all these setbacks, and he just wants to play hockey, right? So yeah, I think that his storyline is going to be another one in training camp. There's a lot, like, man, we're talking about no Canucks news right now. Oh man, once we get into training camp, we might have to do five shows a week just
to
keep up with this, what's going on with
this. We should definitely do a live from training camp recording. I think that'd be so fun.
Oh man, imagine that. We like bring in like all the other media guys to come by for a couple minutes and chat. Man.
Well, maybe not in COVID, but in regular times. Hey,
well, mask up, you know, we'll see.
I guess we have the 25-foot cable.
Plus, you all get tested at the other. Yeah, the 25-foot cable. We'll put him on the stand like a player and just like bring him on the Canucks combo. So.
That is fantastic. You know what? We could definitely do it 25 feet away. We just give him put a headset, something, put it away from us. And yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, tell us the Burrow story you've teased.
Oh, the Burrow story. Yes. Okay. So I was in grade 6 at the time, and NHL 12 had just come out. No, I was in... Yeah, it doesn't matter what grade I was in. Yeah, grade 6. NHL 12 had just come out, and Steven Stamkos was on the cover. I hadn't got the game yet. There was a competition. You know, remember, the Canucks are just coming off the Stanley Cup run, right? Like, they lost the Stanley Cup, and then in October when this happened, there was a contest for the school that could cheer the loudest... in a video or whatever. Alex Burrows would come visit your school and come talk. So he came, and you know, he's talking, and he's like talking at the front of the classroom. I don't have a good Burrows impression, but
no, you don't.
But he was talking or whatever, and then he was just telling us about different stuff, and you know, it's a bunch of kids, right? And then a guy from EA Sports, I don't know his name, came out and was like, oh yeah, we're going to give away some copies of NHL 12. Like, we're going to do some trivia. And I was just like, well, I'm going to clean up. Like,
yeah.
This is my chance to get this game. Yep. I was going to have to wait till Christmas, but I was like, well, I'm going to clean up. Like, you know, I know everything about the Canucks now, but I knew a lot back then too, especially for like a 12-year-old. I think yeah. I knew the most about the Canucks in my whole school there. So we're there, and the way it was is he'd ask a question, then you just put up your hand. So kids are like jumping up, and they're like in the way and like everything like that. And I just kind of sat there with my hand up, and he points at me. And then I get up, and I run up to the front. And Alex Burrows is like right there in front of me, and I wasn't even worried about that. I was just like, I'm going to get NHL 12. So the guy's like, the question was, what is Alex Burrows' famous celebration? So for that one, there was a lot less hands up. Like, not everybody knew that one. So that was the one I got on, and I was like, oh, it's the Luc Bourdon arrow or whatever. And then, Burrows gave me the game, and I was so stoked. And then he was walking to his cab, and there were so many kids, like, chasing him, like, trying to get his autograph. And I was just like, and he wasn't really talking. He was just kind of signing, passing. He wasn't talking to anybody. And I was like, Alex, do you mind signing this? And he like stopped, signed my game. And I'm like, yes, I got him to sign my game. I get home and I pull off the shrink wrap from the game. And I'm like, oh man, the autograph I got was just gone. So I was like, well,
you didn't keep the shrink wrap though.
No, I did I kept it for like a month, yeah. And then I was just like, this is garbage. I can just throw this out. So
that would be a pretty funny autograph to have, though.
Facebook Marketplace signed shrink wrap from Alex Burrows.
NHL 12, yeah, absolutely. You know what? I was thinking about Alex Burrows today, actually.
Really?
Because with Manny Malhotra being gone.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
So he's a coach that's not on the bench, but he's in practice. You know, he's more of an advisor, I'd say. Like, that's what Manny Malhotra was. He wasn't on the bench with the Canucks, right? Mm-hmm. With Manny Malhotra gone, like, and Alex Burrows being an AHL assistant coach
in Laval for a year,
you know, if he's willing to come back to the city of Vancouver from Montreal, like, it makes a lot of sense for Burrows to be the guy to replace Manny Malhotra. I mean, like, it's perfect. Like, it seems perfect.
Well, Malhotra was the video coach, right? So.
Right, and he was on the ice, you know, with them
yes,
too.
He was.
Face-offs guy. And
but
all
how
that.
How tech savvy is Alex Burrows?
Well, they got video guy. Ryan Beach is a video guy. He'll handle.
Ryan Beach isn't going to hook up.
Can you imagine the life that Ryan Beach is going through? Like, if he is now, like, in 1 year he gets hired and now he's, like, teaching Alex Burrows how to run videos? Like, what a life.
Oh, I wish I had a better Alex Burrows impression. Oh. Because then I could just totally recreate a scene between the two of those guys. Yeah. That'd be a fun interaction. I'd love to be a fly on the wall when Ryan Beach is teaching teaching Alex Burrows how to do AV equipment.
Yeah, well, that would be cool. I just think that he just seems like, you know, like they have all these advisors and stuff for guys in college. And Jack talked about it in the interview, like Ryan Johnson,
Chris Higgins,
and stuff like that. Like, it just seems like, you know, Burrows is the guy you want around your locker room. He's the guy who's got like the perfect story to rise to be an NHL star, right? Like he was a guy who came up through multiple leagues, a roller hockey guy, like, and ends up making it to the NHL. Like, he had to work hard. You know, you don't think having Alex Burrows around Jake Virtanen wouldn't help him a ton. Like, it just seems like a home run swing to me. The only thing would be, like, Burrows only has 1 year coaching experience, and he is also moved back home, right? So, like, does he want to come back to Vancouver?
Yeah, especially right now.
And the coach, yeah, exactly. And the coaching experience, like, I know that he's not going to be on the bench. Maybe he works his way into there in the future and does a similar path like Manny Malhotra. Malhotra's, you know, this wasn't a 1 year thing with Malhotra. He's been here for a few years with the Canucks coaching. Mm-hmm. So, I thought of that today, just when I was in my brain laying in bed staring at the ceiling, and I was like, Alex Burrows would be a good replacement for Manny Malhotra. I love it.
He could tell them to win the turd.
Yeah. Okay, prospects report.
All right, let's hear it.
We don't have a report really because they're not playing.
Yeah,
a lot of them aren't playing right now. This SHL's on a break. KHL is sort of on a break, or they're not really on a break, but their players that the Canucks have are on a break. Zlodiev's on a break because he's headed to this big tournament quads. They got three Canucks players. We were struggling the other day. I put out the article.
Oh, my gosh.
And we were freaking out about it. We'll get into that in a second. But the Karjala Cup. Did you know this tournament? So it's held in Finland. I think it's been going on for like 20-plus years, 25-plus years or something. The first year of existence of this tournament, it was called the Sauna Cup.
Really? I didn't know that.
Just the sauna, as they call it over there, the sauna cup.
Oh, that's funny.
So I thought that was a hilarious name for the tournament. But yeah, so the Canucks that are going to be competing in this one, Victor Persson is going to play for Sweden's U20 team, which is exciting. And then they have the two Russians in Dmitry Zlodiev and Vasily Podkolzin. So
the captains Team Russia.
Yes, and we saw a video today of him doing the PD flip in the air stick sort of thing. I got to try and pull that off.
There's no way you could.
Oh, dude, that's the thing. No, people disrespect my hands. Like, I have a good shot and great hands in hockey. I just can't move very much.
You probably have really good hand-eye from baseball.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's all I have.
Dude,
I have
good that turkey eye. Video, I told you this. So when I sniped into that turkey's hole, right, at the time, this deep in quarantine when you're itching for content, that was like second shot I put it right in the hole there. And I didn't shoot a hockey stick for probably like 2 years. Second shot in 2 years of not touching it, right up the turkey's hole.
It's really good that I'm a goalie because we can, we can put this to the test.
Yeah,
I gotta go buy new pads though. We were gonna go play and my pads broke the day we were gonna go.
Sitting at home and busting them up.
Yeah. So I gotta go buy new pads.
All right, so this tournament, it's gonna be really fun to watch. It starts Thursday morning. I'm super excited to wake up at 3:30 AM as you can hear my voice. 3:30 is the first game, and I think the next one is 4.5 hours after that, so 8 o'clock.
Wow.
So those are going to, that's the problem. Like, if I'm waking up at 3:30, just give me the other game right after, like get them off the ice and get the other one going. Don't give me 4 hour break in between, but it's good. It's going to be an awesome tournament to watch these guys compete, to watch Vasily Podkolzin play against U20 players is what we've been waiting for. Like, everybody was talking about World Juniors, but the fact that we get this tournament now, he's going to captain this team. He's going to be electric. And I think that he's, him and Zlodiev too. Like, there's a real possibility that Zlodiev and Podkolzin are killing penalties together. Like, they could be on the ice together killing penalties. I don't think that Zlodiev is high enough in the depth charts to play with Podkolzin. Podkolzin's first line guy. He's going to be the first line winger, whether he's left or right side. Zlodiev is fighting for the fourth center position, right? He might even end up playing wing if he has to. I think that it's going to be exciting to watch these guys play together, but they both kill penalties. It's one of the strengths of theirs. So I think that they could end up killing penalties together if the Russian coach trusts Zlodiev enough. So I'm excited. This is a huge tournament for them. And Persson as well. Like, it's big for Victor Persson to go. Like, people don't, like, he's 18 right now, but he turns 19 in like three days. He turns 19. So this is the last tournament for him to play in for the U20. So, like, this is his last chance eligibility to play in the World Juniors. So he needs to make the World Juniors this year to play in it. And, like, his stock since being drafted has just skyrocketed. Like, as soon as he got drafted, he went on that, like, 5-game point streak. I think he has seven games where he has points in his last 8. So, like, he's been on absolute tear since getting drafted. And this is kind of setting him up to come to the WHL. And if you go play in the World Junior Championships before you play in a WHL game, like, he's already going to have to come over to North America if he's going to make the World Juniors. Then he just stays here and goes straight to the WHL. Like, that's exciting times, man. So, like, Victor Persson's stock just continues to rise. And I know that his stock, I think we had him at, like, 13th on our prospect rankings, which we just did for Canucks Army. The top 16 is going to come out. Dave shut down the idea of calling it the Super Sweet 16.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Horrible for SEO. We wouldn't get any clicks. This is why I manage the site and you write.
Yeah, but if people saw Super Sweet 16, they would click it.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they would.
No, maybe, like, listeners of this show and, like, actual, like, diehard.
Well, there's 1,000 clicks right there.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Just lost 1,000. Nobody clicked the articles on Canucks Army because Dave took the good title out of it.
Please click on the articles on Canucks Army. Don't take that at face value.
All right. So, anyways, our top 16 is going to be coming out right now.
You started today with Jonah Gadjevich, which was, we disagreed on that one.
We did.
Stefan. Yeah. Wow. I almost can't say his name because, anyways, when we were talking about the top 16, like, I consulted with a lot of people and, I talked to NHL scout. I talked to Cam Robinson. I talked to JD Burke and they all said Jacob Truscott needs to be higher than Arvid Kosmar and Jonah Gadjevich. Jacob Truscott was left off our list because of you. You wanted him off the list. You said, no, Jonah Gadjevich needs to be on the list. But again, NHL scout, JD Burke and Cam Robinson both said Truscott needs to be higher. What is your reasoning for this, Chris?
Because Arvid Kosmar is much better of a prospect than Jacob Truscott.
So why?
Because he's going to be the second line center for Sweden at the World Juniors. He ripped up the Super Elite League last year. He was a leading scorer for points per game in the Super Elite League and the J20 League as an 18-year-old. Like, that's ridiculous. How is that? That guy should be higher on a lot of people's rankings. Jonah Gadjevich is three injuries away from playing an NHL game at the age of 22 years old. You know, he was scoring goals again, at a high rate as a 21-year-old
in the
AHL.
But that's a testament to the Canucks' bad depth. That's not a testament to how good Jonah
Gadjevich
is.
Sure, but he still scored 13 goals in 38 games.
I know,
as a 21-year-old kid.
He can't skate. He doesn't have the foot speed for the NHL. It's not going to work.
He can
skate. It's not going to work.
His stride isn't great. Like, his stride is so wide and to the side, it's not forcing him up. And that's something that you can fix.
Dude, he's like a tougher version of Reed Boucher who can't shoot.
He can shoot, man. Jonah Gadjevich can shoot.
Not as good as Reed Boucher.
Well, yeah, Reed Boucher is an all-star.
Yeah, Reed Boucher, KHL all-star. You wash your mouth.
Well, he's not doing so great in the KHL.
Is he? That's so sad.
All of his money is, like, he's got a decent contract, but I think he was making more money in the AHL last year, but he had all these bonuses in the KHL if he makes the all-star team, if he leads the league in goals, and, like, he ain't doing any of that.
Damn. So, come on, yeah, it's Boucher. Unfortunate. Got to get him on the show.
He should have went to the Red Wings, man. He would have been like second line winger on the Red Wings.
Interesting.
But yeah, Gadjevich has things that you can fix, and he's so close to being a fourth line player in the NHL. Like, he can drop the gloves with anybody. He's big. He's strong. He's tough. He can shoot. He's excellent on the power play in front of the net. Like, I don't know if there's a better player on the Comets at being the net front presence guy. You know, like, he's excellent in front of the net, at tipping pucks, at just getting his stick on the puck when it's around the crease. Like, he's so good at it. He just has a knack for being able to finish goals. And Jacob Truscott, like, all right, like, he's playing on this United States National Team Development Program, which is an all-star team.
Watch what you say. He's a guest of the show.
I know he is a guest of the show. I'm just saying, I think that these other guys are higher than him, but if you're playing on that all-star team, like, they're playing against USHL teams, right? Like, this is a much better team, though they're 18 and under, and I get that. So you're playing against some guys that are up to 20, I think 21 maybe is as high as you can go in the USHL. It might be 20. I got to check on that. But still, like, your players were picked over, like, you get to pick. It's like, I don't know if you've ever played, like, these GM modes where it's, like, first 25 picks. Have you ever done, like, a franchise mode where they used to have it in MLB? You would get 25. You get the first 25 picks of the draft is what they would do. Then you have, like, this crazy all-star team. You have to turn salary cap off and everything. But it's a setting that you can do on some of these games. That's pretty much what the United States national team does. They get the first, like, 25 picks of players in the United States. And then the USHL drafts the rest.
Yeah.
So, like, that's, like, if he's put on that team, obviously he's going to be able to have success. And I just think that he's a long ways away from being an NHL prospect. Like, he is, I'm sure that he's an NHL prospect right now, but he's a long ways away from us actually talking about him putting on a Canucks jersey. Jonah Gadjevich is close, and Arvid Kossmar, what he did last year in the Super Elite, like, that has to take notice. Like, that is a ridiculous season.
But if that's your thinking, why is Pearson and Zlodiev so high on our list?
Because look at what they've done since they got drafted. I mean, and
sure, but Truscott hasn't been playing.
Right, true. And yeah, he might go into Michigan and tear it up.
Exactly.
Then he'll go up.
Sure.
But he's the sixth defenseman on their depth chart at Michigan.
Sure, that's
he might fair. Not even start for Michigan.
He's like, going to start. I'm telling you he's going to start.
I'm guessing he'll start. Like, he's a draft pick.
Man.
He should start. But they have some real talented defensemen in Michigan this year.
Yeah, they do. Cam York's still
Owen
on the team.
Power is over there now. I think he's a draft guy for 2021, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had two juniors still coming back. So, like, these third-year guys he played last year, he's not going to steal one of their jobs.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have him at 5 or 6 on their depth chart, right? So, like, he's got a long ways to go before he starts to actually get NHL consideration.
But for raw talent, he can skate well. He can't skate backwards
very
well.
Sure, but raw talent, then you have to, like, that's where the prospect rankings is different between us. Like, you have to take into consideration. That's why Brogan Rafferty still goes up so high.
Yeah.
Brogan Rafferty doesn't have raw talent. He's just under 25 years old and just ripped up the AHL.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously there's more raw talent on Jacob Truscott, but there's a way higher percentage of chance that Brogan Rafferty is going to be an NHL player. That's what I'm saying with Jonah Gadjevich.
I guess that's fair.
And Arvid Kossmar. I think there's a way higher percent, not a way because there is with Rafferty, but with these two, there's a higher percentage of them being NHL players than Jacob Truscott.
We should make a bet.
Right now. I'm down to make a bet.
So
well, what's the bet though?
Who plays more games by the end of their career? Jonah Gadjevich or Jacob Truscott? I'll say Truscott.
Man, we're making a 20-year bet for right now.
Yep.
What are we going to bet? Like $500?
$500. What are you talking about? Who knows where we'll be in 20 years?
Yeah, who knows with inflation and deflation? I don't know, something with money.
Let's do a pasta amore dinner.
Okay, in 20 years from now, a pasta amore dinner. All right, but it's all you can eat and all you can drink.
Okay, that's definitely up to $400. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's just bet $50 or $100.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm taking. Do I get Cosmar too?
No. Oh, okay. I have nothing. I have nothing against Cosmar. I think he should be I'm talking to different scouts, and they said Truscott should be higher than Cosmar.
You say better career or just more games played?
Huh?
Better career or like more games?
No,
played?
More NHL games played.
Yeah, I'd take Gajewicz.
You're taking Gajewicz? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll take Truscott.
I'll play the odds.
Yeah, I'll take Truscott on that one. But yeah, I mean, just talking to these scouts, like, they don't really have a problem with Cosmar as much as it's just like Gajewicz isn't going to play in the NHL for an extended period of time unless the Canucks, again, like you said, are just totally injured everywhere and they need to call up somebody to fill a spot in the lineup. Like,
yeah,
that makes sense. But again, like, these scouts don't think that he's going to be an NHL player. So I don't know. Like, we'll see.
I think if he improves his skating, he's got all the other
tools. And I don't want to put words in their mouth because they
didn't
say that.
Friend of the show, Jonah Gajewicz,
sure,
too.
Sure. Yeah, that's
true. We're arguing against two friends of the show.
We are.
Guessing the past 2 months.
But yeah, I want to make it clear. Like, I don't want to put these guys, Cam and JD, tie them to this take because they didn't really, say he's not going to be an NHL player.
Not time
to.
They can buy me dinner, too.
But they just said, he has some things to work on and he's not quite NHL ready yet. And then, yeah, when I sent them the rankings. Actually, I think Cam... Actually, Gajewicz just wasn't on the list. But Cam was the one that pointed out that Truscott has quite a few things to work on with backwards skating and stuff, which I found really interesting.
And that's the thing. The push that I made for Gajewicz also extended the list from 15 to 16.
Yeah.
I think we were planning on doing 15, but after that, our argument through text about Gajewicz versus Truscott, we ended up getting Gajewicz in there. So.
Yeah, which is
fine. And you know what? Like, next year could be completely different.
Absolutely.
If he goes into Michigan and... shocks me, plays on the power play, puts up a bunch of points as a freshman, more power to him. That's a good thing for the Canucks.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say he should be in the top 15.
Okay.
I'd say Cosmar is still ahead of him, though.
Yeah. Cosmar's legit. And by the way, speaking of him, the only reason he's not at this tournament that's coming up is because there's a COVID outbreak for his Linköping. Definitely butchered the pronunciation on there because it's got a bunch of dots on top of letters like all these Swedish teams. But there was a COVID outbreak in his team. So that's why they had some SHL games canceled and he's not going to go to this tournament because of that. So, and he's getting time in the SHL. Like, there's a couple games this year where he's had regular shifts. I think he's got 6 games right now and he's averaging about 5 minutes per game. But a couple of those games, he just hasn't played, maybe like a couple minutes. But a couple of those games, he's also been a regular fourth line guy getting shifts, but playing on the wing where he's normally a center in his age division. And what he'll be at the World Juniors is a center. And he will be on the World Juniors team for sure. He'd be potentially the first line, probably the second line center. Mm. So Canucks fans have a lot of guys to follow here at this World Juniors, specifically if Persson ends up making the team. You got 2 guys on Sweden, which is always awesome to see. Sweden's just fun to watch. Like, these kids that the U-20s that come through the Swedish team every year are so fun. And then hopefully they got 2 Russians as well. I mean, you for sure have Podkolzin and, potentially Zlodiev if he's able to have a good camp and continue to score goals at the not only the MHL level, but the VHL level as well. So some fun stuff to follow.
Do you have anything else on the prospect front, or are we done?
No, we didn't really. There's not a lot of games going on, so we'll have a lot on Saturday's show, as I'll have a couple of games to wrap up from the Karhala Cup, the Sauna Cup.
The Sauna.
And, I'm all good for the episode, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking prospects with me, even though you don't like Jacob Truscott, who's a great kid, by the way.
I like him. He's a good kid.
I know. I like Jonah Gajewicz, too. I think we're going to disagree on this one, but we'll see how that bet plays out.
Prove me wrong. That's my favorite thing to say.
Yep, we'll see how this bet plays out in 20 years from now. For Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli, and thank you so much for listening to The Canucks Conversation.
Hello, thank you for calling Thomas Drant.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.